Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
To another edition of Zero Blog 30. Today we have four rounds of the magazine. Round number one, we're going to try to explain what's happening in Sudan. Listen, we don't know anything about Sudan. I didn't know a damn thing about Sudan until yesterday. So what we're going to try to do, one, is be honest that we don't know what the fuck's going on in Sudan. But we found some articles and pieced together some information where we're going to learn together. And it'll be because there was great work by journalists all over the world essentially working on this. So we're going to give it a little try. And I'm excited about that. Round number two, Pentagon employees are too horny to care about national security measures. This was a wild story. You're going to enjoy it. Round three, the world military spending for 2022 was a number so staggering that we're going to make you wait until round number three to hear it. That's called listener retainer, folks. It's a little trick in the trade that we have for the podcast. And finally, round number four, we're going to have a good initiative, bad judgment sound. One of those stories is going to be about cow-covered poop or a car covered in poop. There's all kinds of shit that's going on in round number four.
Literally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Literally. Big time. Big time, literally. All right, Kate, let's get into round number one, which is the story on what's going on in Sudan.
Yeah, what's happening in Sudan right now, and it may be on your radar if you're in the U.S., is because the U.S. military went in to evacuate any American government personnel out of Khartoum in Sudan over the weekend, took over 100 U.S. Special Forces operators to get in there and get just around 100 people out. They exited Sudan without being fired upon by the warring factions on the ground, so everybody got out peacefully, but it's a big deal what's going on there right now. It's pretty bad. Quick background. Sudan is one of those countries, it's kind of like Afghanistan. For its entire history, other countries have just been like, oh, let's head in here and fuck shit up. Let's head in here and fuck shit up. Like, everyone's always trying to fuck with it.
And so they even do it to themselves.
They even do it to, and so it's been a very, well, then that creates power vacuums when the other groups leave, and then they have civil infighting, and that's been going on pretty much forever there. So Sudan has been rife with conflict forever. Its history consists of foreign invasions resulting in resistance, which then in the vacuum, ethnic tensions, religious disputes, competition over resources, two civil wars that killed 1.5 million people in the last few decades alone, and just continuing conflict. The Darfur, I remember that was a big,
yeah,
huge in the news when I was in high school.
An attempt at genocide was Darfur.
Displaced over 2 million people and killed more than 200,000. And there have been, since 1956, there have been 15 military coups. Okay, so you're like, hey, January 6th was pretty bad. Picture that.
15 times 15. Times,
just happening all the time. Okay, just picture a constant state of January 6th. That's kind of what they're dealing with. But there's only been very brief periods of democratic civilian parliamentary rule. And other than that, it's just military coup. Sounds like a pigeon over there. Coup.
Oh, brother.
Anyways, heavy fighting has erupted once again after weeks of tension between the main government military and a powerful paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF. So those are the two groups, Sudanese military and the RSF. They're beefing. The clash has killed hundreds of civilians and spread to more than a dozen towns and cities across Sudan. And I have a map at the top that the guys can see. I mean, every corner of this country, there's little dots showing where there's battles going on. It is
conflicts, yeah.
The entire country is having conflicts right now. Buildings, airports, hospitals destroyed, dead and wounded as artillery and tank fire clashes in densely populated neighborhoods. Kind of reminded me of when there was the power vacuum in Kabul and the warring factions are in the mountains just sending artillery, and it was the people who suffered. It was the civilians who ended up getting fucked by all that, and that's kind of what's happening in Khartoum and the bigger cities. So how did we get here? How did this latest mega clash start in Sudan?
And you want to start in 1956 and kind of break it down there?
Yeah, I'll just go all the way through that. No, but there's the Sudanese army, as I said, led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burnham, not to be confused with Bo Burnham.
True.
Okay, good. Thank you for that clarification.
And then the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces Militia, led by General Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, not to be confused with John Hamm.
Ah, okay.
I just want to make sure that's clear to everyone.
Even though John Hamm, huge dick on that
guy.
Unbelievable.
The crazy part is the Sudanese military and the RSF used to be buddies, okay? It wasn't long ago that these two were in cahoots. They united to seize power in 2019 by toppling the former dictator, Omar al-Bashir, and again in 2021 when they launched another coup to block a planned transition to democratic elections. So once Bashir was ousted and there was an opening, they were like, let's work together to seal this, you know, stop anybody else from coming in but us. But now that it was just the two of them and it was time to take over, they started looking at each other being like, well, which one of us is going to be King Dingling here? And now they're fighting. So on Saturday, the Sudanese military denounced the RSF as rebels.
I love a good denouncing.
Big time denouncing.
You know what? You don't often get to denounce in one's life. There's only a few opportunities that come along where you get to denounce. You got to take advantage.
Yep.
If you need to rebuke or you need to denounce, those are good days.
They didn't go as far as to rebuke them. They didn't get that crazy. But they did denounce, okay? So General Dagalo declared that General Burhan would be captured dead or alive. It's like the Sudanese military is like, we're coming for you motherfuckers. You're fucking done now. We're squashing you out. Both have close links to military forces in other countries in Africa and the Middle East, and this is raising fears of a broader proxy war. So this other country is feeding the RSF guns and ammo and blah, 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 and this other country is feeding the Sudanese military gun, like, and they're fighting each other through blah, blah, blah. Like, this has the potential to be a huge deal. And worth noting, the USA, for a long time, feeding all these people weapons, just reeling in the money, okay? So, anyway.
Wait, can you please clarify that? Both sides or one of the sides?
Just for many decades, we just flooded Sudan with weapons, with military.
Yeah, because the different factions have changed hands and they've changed leaders in the way that they go about and do things. It's kind of like our parties here. Like what the Republican Party looked like in the 1980s is not the same. The same thing for the Democratic Party. None of them look the same or have the same leaders. The same kind of thing happened here.
But it looks like it started around the Reagan era. Once every time new governments would flip in Sudan, we'd be like, do any of you need weapons? We are selling. And they'd
we're
be like,
selling.
Yes. And
hello,
we'd be like,
hello.
All right, great. So we've been flooding them. Anyway, and also, too, that was another one of the countries that was kind of a proxy war against because the communists were coming in and trying to meddle, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Just a mess. Anyway.
All right, Cons, you're smart, West Point graduate. Let's go. Give me a quick summary of what Kate just said.
Does anything I say make sense? I don't know.
No, there's been two warring factions, the RSF. And
no, don't read. Don't cover
I'm not,
your
I'm
eyes.
Not reading.
Okay.
I'm not reading.
Okay.
I'm not reading. There's been two factions, the Sudanese army and then the RSF, and they used to be buddies, but now there's a power vacuum and they're going against one another. And this has flip-flopped over the course of the last couple decades. And right now, things are ablaze.
All right, give me two cities' names and one of the leaders' names for each one.
No. So sorry about that.
Those are things I
need to read like six times
before
and I can recall them.
I texted them. I was like, look, guys, I've been spending a lot of time reading about this. I have no idea what
this
the fuck I'm
This is why I broke
reading.
It down. We got Bo
Yeah,
Burnham.
You did. You're doing
Bo
a great
Burnham
job.
Bo Burnham versus John Hamm. Just think
yeah.
about that.
Yeah, there we go. I like it.
Anyway, where did the RSF even come from? They're originally down in the southwest of the country and kind of bubbled their way up. They evolved from the notorious Janjaweed militia, which was the militia that terrorized Darfur and was doing horrible, horrible massacres, war crimes, like horrific shit in Darfur in the early 2000s. They have kind of stemmed from that. So,
and that's not to be confused with John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
True.
Right,
Janjaweed militia.
Janjaweed. So General Dagalo, a.k.a. Little Muhammad, he's the commander of the RSF, okay? John Hamm. Okay, anyway.
Is he named Little Muhammad because he's tiny or
no
offense, Nick,
just,
or...
I think it's one of those. It's like one of those Italian mafia things where like the enormous guy named Tony, they call him Little Tony.
Oh yeah, okay.
Little Muhammad. He's actually 800 pounds. Anyway, the RSF has expanded its presence across the country. They've been growing and growing. They have over 100,000 fighters now. And who's feeding them? The Russian military, apparently. The Wagner Group, Russian military contractors, armies of several Gulf states are helping support them in this mission. So fighting erupted in the center of Khartoum on Saturday, shut down the main airport. There's tons of images of plane, like huge passenger planes on fire, all kinds of stuff. Spread to other areas of the country. And on Thursday, the heaviest fighting was happening near Khartoum. Airstrikes were hitting medical facilities, all kinds of awful shit. Gunfire ripping through the neighborhoods. And even on Friday was the start of the Muslim holiday. I always say it wrong. Eid.
Mm-hmm.
So soldiers and gunmen, even during the special early morning call to prayers, there was gunfire going. That's how you know it's serious, because even in Afghanistan, it was always like a call to prayer was always like, time out. Everyone take a quick time out.
Yep.
No matter what's going on, time out. Over 420 people have been killed, thousands injured, and the toll is likely to be higher because there's just bodies laying uncollected in the streets. There's also been 5 ceasefire attempts so far. The UN is like, and all those peace groups are trying to broker between the two, and all 5 of those ceasefire attempts have been broken by both sides. Still, every time there is a break, the residents have been fleeing their homes because they've been trapped there for days. Like, you can't run out to get milk and bread and food for your kids when you're afraid that you're going to get killed in the street.
Which is what we all saw that in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah. Like, if there was a lull in the action, people were getting the fuck out of the city. Women and children were leaving in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and so Eastern Chad already has 400,000 refugees from Sudan. 20,000 more are making their way. I saw videos of just long lines of refugees walking through the desert, and the small village people coming out of the small villages, like, helping give them water, any food they had in their huts, like, everything to help them get the fuck out of where they are. It's also been disastrous. 1/3 of the population, that's about 16 million people, were already facing starvation, like severe hunger, and in need of aid. And now the UN and other relief agencies have had to suspend their programs to these 16 million desperate people because of the fierce fighting has led to widespread looting of their offices and warehouses. So they, all the places where they do their logistics and help set this stuff up and give it, have all been overran because there's a mass panic now. Because so this has like humanitarian disaster written all big over time. It. This is very, very, very bad news. So again, all Americans apparently are out of there now and everybody's safe. But it's going to be interesting to see like how the outside world gets involved in this, if it's looking like it's going to get even worse towards the humanitarian disaster side, and what's going to happen from here. So who knows? And I'm always like, we've got to have, I always think we've, I'm sure we've got some special forces lingering in there doing
for
something.
Sure.
I don't know. But that's
SEAL Team 6 apparently was the one that came, did the rescue. Them and
got
Army,
him out.
The Green Berets.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I think the default is to think about third world countries and you think, oh, well, they don't have infrastructure. They don't have the basics, food, water. But I think part of it, and I actually hadn't really given thought to it until this story right now, but there's that vacuum of, maybe not the control is the right word, but just, what's the word I'm looking for? No,
testicles?
Not decency. No, not that one either. Not normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
But basically,
no, work through it, Cons.
Yeah, wait, hold on. there's the lack of, oh my God, this is the tip of my tongue.
Lack of, what do you think, Kate? What is there a lack of?
No
decorum?
Idea.
Is it decorum?
No.
We're getting warmer with decorum.
Urgency? There's a lack of knowledge?
Oh my God, this is really embarrassing. I can't think
no,
of
it's fine.
I'm
work through
for.
It, Cons. You're going to get there.
But just, there's just...
No,
now I've just completely lost my thought.
Let us know. It'll pop back to you in like 5 minutes and you just get to
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll come back. Come back to me. Come
but
back.
Thinking of all the people, I was people from Sudan were on Twitter who have made it out and just talking about how horrible it is. It has to be terrible to be on the outside looking at your country falling apart. Fortunately, far too many people know that feeling, so.
True.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to round number 2.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed has proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents. But in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Round number two, very different vibe, okay? Round number two, horny.
Yeah.
Sad.
We need
horny,
a little,
okay?
We can't play Bernie Higgins anymore because it's a copyright violation, but imagine. We should start singing it. We should just start singing.
Yeah, Key Largo. Anyway, Pentagon employees, horny. They're using banned and unauthorized apps to find hookups, watch TikToks, and buy crypto on their government phones and devices, according to a new DOD investigation. The list of what DOD employees are downloading in spite of bans include dating apps, Chinese drone apps, third-party virtual private networks, cryptocurrency apps, games, and apps related to multi-level marketing schemes. You know, the DOD and multi-level marketing schemes go hand in hand. Those LuLaRoe leggings were on
there.
Yeah,
LuLaRoe.
Yeah. The DOD's Office of the Inspector General audited government-issued devices as well as the policies meant to protect the DOD from these apps. The investigation revealed ain't nobody give a fuck about none of that, because they just want to watch their TikToks and get their D's wet and their vaginas poked, okay?
That's right.
That's what everybody's interested in. Nobody cares.
We're doing poking?
I guess. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. It's crazy
okay.
out there.
Well, you're pregnant. You know something.
Yeah. The investigation examined the DOD's own special app store and found an undisclosed number of unapproved apps and determined that employees are able to access any apps they want, really. So none of the government safeguards on the government phones do jack shit, I guess.
Why not give them,
awesome.
Like, the phone that President Obama had? Have you guys ever seen that?
No.
When Denali was renamed to Denali, President Obama went there and he was like, it's the first time that they've let me have a phone in about 3 or 4 years, because something was going on with one of his kids. And they were like, well, what kind of phone do you have? Is it an iPhone? Is it an Android? And he looked at it. He was like, I honestly don't even know. Like, there's no internet on it.
It's like one of those old lady jitterbug phones. Like, just
yeah.
Like,
he was like,
whatever.
I can't text on it. I can only call.
Wow.
But yeah, in a move that may jeopardize national security more than a lackluster Tinder date, employees are also using unapproved messaging apps to discuss controlled unclassified information, the government's term for sensitive info that's supposed to be safeguarded with special precautions.
That's WhatsApp. They're talking about WhatsApp.
Yeah.
It's not anything fancy. It's WhatsApp.
All the others, including political conservatives, have been able to find some extenuating circumstance, often the kind cited by a correspondent in the New York Post who wrote, anyone who's served in the armed forces knows that sexual activity is constantly on the mind and, if conditions permit, pursued.
And
fair
some
enough.
Of their excuses that they made for this were wild. I was surprised to see some of these excuses.
Yeah. Everyone knows that the men are just a bunch of leering, prancing goats. This view that inside every man lurks a sexual beast is shared by many religionists and some sociobiologists and a few feminists. Indeed, many everyday folks hold the view that men's sexual urges can be diluted only by marriage or by friendly feminine presences such as mothers, sisters, and girlfriends. Urges that are not diluted need to be absorbed by prostitutes or other morally sort of, I never buy that shit. You can just be a decent human being. Anyway, whether neither they nor those who supervise them have yet learned. So basically people are trying to make excuses saying, no matter what, people are going to be horny on their phones, even if you have the most top secret phone in the world. Men just can't help themselves. They can't
Well,
help
the
it.
First part of that article is actually current. The last part is from a 1987 article from the Los Angeles Times.
But I have to tell you, I still see that shit. I still see excuses like that for as to why people are
They're just horny, folks. They're just horny.
Yeah, so I don't know. They're just hazardously horny.
A bunch
horny.
Of prancing goats.
No, I get it, though. Listen, like, I think we think, oh, if you work in the Pentagon, you're all buttoned up. They're still just people, and they're adults. And
they're horny.
When you're in the Pentagon, I have friends that work in the Pentagon, your phone doesn't work. Your civilian phone just straight up, like, really does not work because of the safeguards that are in the Pentagon, which, hey, that's probably a good thing, and just the actual way the building is. Your phone doesn't
you're working
work,
in
so
a
that's
tight
why
knit enclosure
your...
with a hole in the middle, pal. People are going to be.
Do you think they have a glory hole anywhere in the Pentagon based on how horny these dudes are? No?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, I think somebody's getting their dick sucked at the cafeteria, no doubt about it. All right, let's move on to round number three to talk a little more about the Pentagon and how much the world is spending. Before we do that, though, I have a game. You guys ready for a game? I didn't tell you.
Okay. Yes, hold on really quick. Going back to round number one, those third world countries lack stability and basic governance that doesn't allow for people to just act in such a way that would prevent anybody just taking up arms and deciding like, oh, okay, we're going
to
be in charge.
Well, they say it takes three generations for a country to recover from war. And to, like, get like, normal. And if you're never...
We've never had that, though.
If you're never there, if you're Sudan, like, you've never had that.
No.
So.
We also have never had that.
I know, but not here, though. We do it elsewhere.
Yeah, they don't have that baseline of governance.
Right. No.
Sorry, that was the other thing.
Most people in America don't know that, okay?
Right. It doesn't count.
They don't have that luxury. Okay.
All right.
So thank you for letting me do that. Go ahead.
No problem, Cons.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
So I have a game for you guys.
Love a good game.
Because this article is going to mention how much money is spent on the world's militaries, I have a game for you guys.
Okay.
Who are the top country spenders? Let's see. The list has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 top countries spent. Let's see how many you guys can name. Ready? And you can do it together as a team.
Well, the U.S.
Yeah, obviously.
China.
The U.S., by the way, the U.S. is about $580 billion more than the next country.
Is this just how much we spend in a year in general?
Yeah, how much is the... Okay. It was 2021. How much was spent on military forces in... For that year.
USA, Israel...
China. Yeah. Japan.
Israel.
Russia.
Hold on. China. Russia. Japan. Okay.
Israel's not one of them?
Israel is. They came in at number 15 with 24.3 billion.
Yeah.
Germany?
Germany is on the list with 56 billion.
Canada?
Canada is on the list at 26.4.
Australia?
Australia is on the list at 31.8 billion.
How many do we have so far?
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's pretty good.
Who else is on there?
No, we're going to keep going.
Let's keep going. Hold on.
Yeah. I bet the listeners are like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, they're like, oh, you guys are idiots. How do you not know this stuff? Okay, whatever. France?
France is on the list. They come in at $56.6 billion.
Spain?
Spain, not on the list.
Ooh. Did we say the UK?
No, the UK is on the list. UK comes in at 68.4. They're number four. So you've got number one, number two, China. Number three, or number four is United Kingdom. The number three still hasn't been said. And they came in with $76.6 billion. And I think it's, shockingly, I think it's the most forgotten country by the West that there is.
Huh? Oh, no.
No.
Oh, South Korea?
South Korea is on the list. They came in at 50.2.
North Korea?
So they're number 10.
North Korea?
Wow, but who's number three that we've just forgotten?
Yeah.
Oh, India. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
One out of seven people on Earth are from India.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Yeah.
So the only
one
you guys...
You're right, we do forget about that.
The only ones you guys didn't come through with was Iran that comes in at number 14. We also have... Did you say Italy?
No, but I feel like I would have gotten there eventually.
Italy, South Korea. Oh, you just said South Korea.
Yeah, I said South Korea, yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
So that's the only one.
From Africa, I would have said Egypt. But Saudi Arabia makes plenty of sense.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, because they have so much money. All right, now let's get going with round number three. What do we got, Kate?
All right. Well, world military spending reached an all-time high of $2.24 trillion with a T in 2022 as Russia's invasion of Ukraine fueled a sharp jump in spending across the board, especially Europe, according to a leading defense think tank. Global spending rose for the eighth consecutive year, and the United States remained the world's largest spender, up 0.7% to $877 billion in 2022.
That's so insane, man. And the craziest part is they don't know where a tenth or something like that. Was it 10 or 20% of all that spending went to? Isn't that what Jon Stewart was talking about? They didn't know where 20% was?
They can't account for, like, most of it. And 39% of total... 39% of all the world military spending in the entire world goes to the U.S.
That's a lot.
A lot of kids still can't afford lunch. The increase was largely driven by the unprecedented level of financial military aid it provided to Ukraine. China remained the world's second biggest spender with $292 billion in 2022. This was a 4.2% increase from the year before. Meanwhile, and they've 28 years in a row, they've been increasing.
Yeah, that was a staggering stat. 28 years in a row, it's gone on.
Meanwhile, Japan spent $46 billion, a rise of 5.9% from the previous year. And I think that's because China's been getting squirrely on them. And they're like, we better keep it up.
Everybody's got their eye on old China.
I just feel like it's a sickness, kind of. Like, I know we need to protect ourselves, but I also feel like there's so much insane corruption in the contractor world. And those contracts are given so freely, and I am tinfoil hat Katie, but the revolving door between military leadership, and then they go to these corporations like Halliburton and this and that, and all these big things are given out, and they're living in their mansions, and like I just, and yet we have so many social issues that are not taken care of that are just crazy.
And I understand the need for a strong defense, because that's the reason why our country has largely not been fucked with for a long time, because we have a strong defense. And nope, like the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean having right there that natural barrier too.
Yeah.
But we don't need to spend that much money. If we were efficient, we wouldn't need to do anywhere near what we do. But we don't. We waste an insane amount of money all the time, whether it's through jets that don't work or whatever. Like, it's just, you look at that number, like how many good things you could do with even 10%.
You gotta keep up with the Joneses, right? Because if we stop this spending and we somehow,
we don't need to go 500 and something billion.
No, probably not, Chaps. Probably not.
At the same time, I feel like the American public is completely powerless to stop it, even though we know that they can't account for where most of it's going, and we can't stop the increase. Like, it just feels very strange. Like, it just is like, I know we need to have a huge blah, blah, blah. I totally get that. But also, it just seems real fucked up. We have to have a big-ass military that does all kinds of neat things. But
if you combined all the other 15, if you combined all the other 14, they're only like $45 billion behind. So we spend what the next 14 countries do after we've already gotten there, after they have theirs. Insane stat.
What's peace of mind worth for the 350 million people?
If your taxes are high and you don't know where a lot of it's going, it kind of kills the peace of mind a little. It's a mix of both. Tough cookie.
There are basically two schools of thought, Kate. All right, let's move on to round number four. It's going to be our good initiative, bad judgment scene. The first one up, a shot across the bow at our beloved Coast Guard. We know that the Coast Guard likes to stop heroin, meth. We wish they would stop doing it to marijuana. A little fucked up. We don't need to do that anymore. Just keep it and do whatever you need to do with it. But the Mexican Navy inspectors have intercepted 11,520 tequila bottles that were bound for export that actually contained nearly 10 tons of concentrated liquid meth. 10 tons of meth is a lot of meth.
Yeah, it's a lot of meth.
19,000 pounds of meth at this one Pacific Coast port, which is crazy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So, and it was found by one single dog. One single dog found all this meth. Knowing from experience the way that Psyche responded to just a truck full of explosive, Psyche went absolutely bananas, started shitting himself and stuff like that because he was so excited. I cannot imagine what a dog that finds 19 tons or 19,000 pounds of fucking meth.
I'm sorry, time out. You said your dog would poop itself when it
just
got excited?
The one time. So there was one dump truck that was not your Ascons. There was one dump truck that was filled with explosives. Yeah. And Psyche smelt it from a long way away and was like pulling me towards it. And as he was going, he was spinning. And then he finally got so excited whenever we got real near it that he shit. Yeah, he was very excited. He thought it was going to be like the most toys ever.
Yeah.
But we all went crazy for him whenever he got back. We're like, Psyche, woohoo.
A huge portion of my TikTok algorithm right now is Cartel Talk, and it's literally shamelessly showing their faces like in the hills of Colombia making cocaine, and it's fascinating to watch. It's fascinating.
Like, they don't even go, they don't bring it to like a house, it's like a legit hut. They're going in and like cutting it off, the coca leaves off, and going in, and the process is incredible.
It's eye awakening too, thinking about the olden days and things I put in my body. People are commenting like, what's all that powder you're sprinkling on the cocoa leaves before we run? And they're like, that's just cement powder. And you're just like, oh shit. What was I doing? Anyway, interesting.
Apparently the USD inspectors don't work for cocaine. They don't do that in Colombia.
Chaps, but you talk about the efficiency of it. I think what's fascinating about, like, if you go to the origins of where all these drugs come from in the world, these people that are working on these farms, they're not in their head thinking like, oh no, I'm making drugs and drugs are bad. They're thinking like, this is how I earn my living.
Yeah.
And it's at that very basic level.
I mean, hell, we did that for war. Like, they paid us to go to war.
Farmers would shoot at us. They're like, we don't care about the Taliban, but we're pissed you're burning our poppy fields.
Right. Or huge marijuana fields, too.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll say good initiative, good judgment by the Mexican Navy there.
Yeah, I would say that, too. I would say different if it was a different type of drug, but liquidized meth, concentrated meth, we need to get that up out of here. Just get it out of here. All right, second one. There's a doctor from Sagar, which is a place in India, devised a way to keep the car cool by spreading liquid cow manure all over the car and letting it dry, because apparently cow manure is a nice insulator, and it's been getting so hot there that they had to come up with different ways to do it. So he covered his car in cow dung. And he said it often happens in the summer that the sheet on top of the car draws heat and increases the temperature inside. By allowing the cow dung coating, the inside temperature of the car does not rise. So it's apparently like a wine cooler for your car.
And it kind of just looks like he covered his car in like Adobe stucco. And he's like a handsome guy. He looks like a normal guy. And he did it very neatly. So it's not like a messy, poopy car. It's a neat
Shockingly car. Good.
I think that's smart.
You guys are just really just ignoring the fact that he spread poop all over his car, and poop has a distinct odor, a pungent
Not
odor.
Not when it dries it out. Cow poop doesn't when it's dry.
It has a little bit of a je ne sais quoi.
No, it doesn't smell at all when it's dry. I
feel bad. If you think your kid's getting embarrassed when you're dropping them off listening to a wacky song, this guy dropping his kids off at high school in a poopy car, that's tough.
Well, in India, cow poop's a whole different paint job. Like, I don't think that they care nearly as much about the cow poop, but either way, it was impressive. What do you do when it rains? That's my question.
Yeah, because then it melts off.
Then the smell comes back.
Dehydrated
poop doesn't stink. When you rehydrate it, it's kind of like space ice cream.
Exactly. I'm saying good initiative, bad judgment.
Same here. Good initiative, good judgment. Oh,
me too.
Not same here, but good initiative.
All right, next one. Last summer, an elderly passenger died of a heart condition during a celebrity cruise vacation. The cruise line allegedly advised his wife of two options. One, allow her husband's remain to be removed from the ship in nearby Puerto Rico, where she would have to stay alone for days pending possible autopsy, or leave his body within the ship's morgue until the vessel arrived. In the hopes of returning to her family as soon as possible, the woman, who was 78 years old, chose the latter option, trusting that the ship would safely transport her husband of 55 years back to their home state of Florida to be prepared for the funeral service. 6 grueling days passed on the seas, and the Celebrity Equinox chugged back to its port in Fort Lauderdale. When the ship arrived in August, a local funeral home employee came aboard to retrieve the body. It wasn't in the morgue, but instead it was in the refrigerator. Good initiative or bad judgment by the crew aboard this ship?
Bad initiative, bad judgment.
I think it's good initiative, bad judgment. What are you going to do with a body on a ship? It's not like you have a morgue.
They do have a morgue.
No, but like an actual legit morgue that is like cold and think like that's the reason
yes,
why.
Yes, I think they have those.
Okay, well if that still
yes.
What if it's
are people dying on cruises that often?
Dude, I just read an expose about cruise ships. Yes, they do, cons.
Interesting. Yes, I will say this about cruises. I've been on one cruise in my life.
Yes.
Never again. Never again. I will never go on another cruise in my entire life.
Most large cruise ships have a morgue.
Wow.
Man, they do. So, I'm looking at it right now. There's people in the morgue with like toe tags and shit. Yeah, you got to put, if you got an actual morgue, you got to, I understand a hasty morgue putting in a refrigerator, but if you have the ability to do a normal morgue, why are you throwing in the pantry with goldfish crackers?
Right. That's like, number one. Number two, I think the cruise industry as a whole needs to examine itself. If you have it necessary, if it's necessary to have a morgue on your ships, what are you doing wrong?
Well,
name me another like industry that has a, you know, a to-go morgue.
The hospital.
That's,
remember
that's,
when COVID was happening and all those people were on cruise ships and they couldn't come back to sea or come back to port? That shit's got to be terrifying, man. Like being on a cruise ship, not being completely isolated and somebody on there has COVID.
Right.
Yeah.
When you didn't know anything about COVID?
Yeah, when you didn't know before you knew.
All right.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
Bad initiative, bad judgment.
Bad initiative, bad judgment. That's
all right.
Tough. Yeah.
And finally, the last one. The mayor in South Korea is under fire for dumping tons of garbage on an area beach so that volunteer cleaners and crews had something to remove. The mayor admits that he had the trash carted in because apparently there wasn't enough for his constituents to remove. And he says, we brought in waste styrofoam and other coastal trash gathered from nearby areas so the 600 participants could carry out the cleanup activities. Why not just have a fucking barbecue?
It was International Coastal Cleanup Day, meant to raise awareness. And he's like, I don't have trash, and the party's about to start. So he dumped it all over. Wow. That's good initiative, bad person.
I agree completely.
Good initiative.
He's trying. Imagine seeing that, though. Like from, let's say you're in a condo, having a little break, because it is on the seaside, and you see a dump truck full of styrofoam and trash just dumping it out on the beach. And then next you see people come. It's like fuck games in the military. Like, good. We don't want a field day because it's clean. No, it's not. Do it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Shitting some trash right damn now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Con's language. All right, let's move on to playing a part. Save rounds and alibis.
Barstool Sports and Foreplay have partnered up with Skillz, the leading sports skill training brand, to develop co-branded golf training aids that will help you improve your game. The Skillz Barstool Golf line was designed to help sharpen every aspect of your game from tee to green. The products help you develop your swing, whether it's gaining distance, improving accuracy, chipping around the greens, or dialing in your putting. All products are made by golfers for golfers. They were developed by industry experts who understand the game. Skillz Barstool Golf products are now available at golfgalaxy.com/barstool or in-store at Golf Galaxy and select Dick's Sporting Goods House of Sport locations.
Let's move into some save rounds and alibis, but before we do that, I have a request from Kate. Kate last week picked her nose in the podcast, and it wasn't on there. So, Kate, we're going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. Let's do a little nose picking for the squad. No, not sideways. Don't be a coward.
Delicious. All right,
so you can go first in some save rounds and alibis.
Okay, would you guys like to accept this collect call?
We had a baby, it's a boy.
We had a baby pizza boy.
Oh, fuck. I was supposed to say, let's go back. We'll do it again, Kate. Okay. That was good.
Well, we ruined it. Okay.
No. We'll do it again. Nobody will know it's coming.
Would you like to accept this collect call?
Yeah, from who?
We had a baby pizza boy.
Okay. We have a baby. It's a boy. Well done, Kate.
Thank you.
Thoughts.
Having a second boy, it sounds dorky. I truly would have been thrilled either way. And a little part of you does want to know, like, you've experienced the baby boy vibes. And what's the other side?
Tread carefully here, Kate. He's going to be able to hear it eventually.
But I was so excited just thinking, like, just little buddies getting into mischief together, running through the house with a pickle in their mouth, you know.
Two boys together cause a lot of trouble. How are you mentally preparing for that?
I love it. I am like, okay, that's right up my alley. I love when my son is mischievous already. I shouldn't. I'm probably ruining him. And not that the gals are mischievous as hell, too. It's not that there's that much of it. But
you are one, so yeah.
I kind of already know what to... I know how to get messy poopy off balls, okay? I already know how to deal, okay? Mm-hmm. I know that there's pee everywhere. I feel like I kind of got it down. And I don't have to buy new clothes.
Oh, so, that's true.
You know? So
a little bit of hand.
I probably wouldn't have done. Anyway, so whatever. So anyway, I just felt really excited. I felt really... In all honesty, I've been having a little bit of trouble. Last time with my son now, like the second I found out I was pregnant, I felt this intense connection with him and this intense love. And this time I just have had a hard time, like...
Well, it might be because you didn't experience it. Now you're like, my body was fucked. So you kind of know what's coming down the old river.
I had like more fear this time, right? There's more yeah. worries and anxieties this time.
Because you were kind of oblivious, like because you said, oh, we only need 4 or 5 onesies, that type of thing. So that you were just walking through the clouds with your head just spinning.
I really was. Like, I just did not know. And so this time now, I think I've had more anxiety and more like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then for some reason, hearing more info and... It also came with test results that, like, we're lucky to say, like, everything's okay. And so now I feel like I'm starting to be like, all right, little dude, here we go. Like,
Here we go.
I don't know. So anyway, I'm rambling, but that was exciting. And then also, too, I just wanted to talk, like, touting another podcast, another military podcast on our podcast. But Taking Cover is this new podcast series that NPR just did. And it is a deep dive into the worst Marine-on-Marine-friendly fire incident in modern history. It took place in Fallujah. And a wild and heartbreaking cover-up that followed was just, I've been reading about it. We've talked about it a little bit on the show. But the journalist did amazing work. Have you guys listened to it yet?
I've listened to some of it, yeah.
It's really, really well done. And it brings our old guest, Duncan Hunter, the congressman.
Let's not call him our old guest. Let's suppress that.
Yeah, shitty guy. But so I went and listened back to that interview that we did with Duncan Hunter, and... I gotta quit being polite when someone says something off the hook that you're like, holy shit. And I was listening to him say these awful things, and I was listening back to myself going, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, it's like, no.
But also, we're not trained journalists. None of us are trained journalists. No. And like, we're not fucking Barbara Walters or Lisa Stahl. Yeah. We're not going down that road. So when we go into that place, especially being former military people, you go into Congress, you're going to be respectful as shit because you...
Yeah, that's the other thing. You two were in his office. This wasn't virtual.
But Duncan Hunter is a big part of this Taking Cover story, and it's fascinating. If you're sitting on the toilet for a long time or you're on a long train ride or a long commute or something, after Zero Blog 30, I would maybe check that out. But great work
by those journalists. Be after because they already listen.
That's true. That's a good point. So I just think no free ads, but a podcast worth listening to. Pretty crazy story there. And that's it for me. Yeah.
All right, Connor.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot recently. My last 4 flights, 3 of them were delayed. Last train I took was delayed. Just unfortunate luck right now. But I had a question for you, chaps, because I've seen a lot of service dogs. Now, I would think... A Saint Bernard is much too large to be a service dog. Am I correct? Or can any breed be a service dog?
Yeah, you can basically have any breed, but most service dog organizations that train them know that that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And the service dog industry is fucking bullshit at this point, too.
Okay, keep going.
I mean, the way that the... One, you could have a Pomeranian that has no training whatsoever, and they come in their little Louis Vuitton bag or whatever. That dog is not a service dog. And the fucked up part, I love the ACA, and I think that the American with Disabilities Act is, or ADA, is very, very important because we need to have ramps. And we need. No one is allowed to ask if it's a service dog or not. It's against the law to ask. So you have like a little miniature pinchers that's fucking around on the plane and barking and shit. Oh, it's my service dog. I wish that dog people like me had the ability to be like, that's not a service dog. That's not a service dog. You're lying. That's not a service dog. And then kick them out of the plane.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe, like, where are you putting a St. Bernard on a standard flight?
I do kind of like that move, though. I mean,
yeah, like a
service alligator.
Wow, but that's what I was thinking. It's like, how many of these service dogs are really necessary? And it just seems like...
You know what I see sometimes? People dress their service dog in a military-looking vest with military-looking patches, and you'd start talking to them. And they were not in the military.
Stolen valor.
They want that.
Because
people are even less likely to ask about it if they think the person's military. And so it's like, what the fuck, dude? It has to be very frustrating for the people who truly actually need them to see the others and be like, oh, you're Pomeranian, you're a fucking wiener
dog. Like
dogs.
A blind guy is walking down the street and people are like, that's not a real service dog.
Yeah, that's kind of, they're probably the most annoyed by it. But yeah, it's a little
crazy. So I was curious about the old service dog happenings about. And so I'm grateful you were able to clear that up for me a little bit. And then
I would even say 10% of active service dogs are actually trained service dogs. Maybe 10%.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because look how expensive it is for each one. The fundraisers, Team Foster, I'm doing something with that.
$25,000 too,
Let us be clear. We are not against service dogs. We just think people are carrying dogs and just claiming they're service dogs when, in fact, they're not actually service dogs. But Kate, also, with the patches and the stuff, I hadn't considered that. That's crazy.
Take a close look at some of them. You're like, wait a
And then lastly, last weekend, for whatever reason, I was just doing things here and there, and I just wasn't on my phone that much. And it was just, as we've always said, when we're not on our phones, it's kind of relaxing and nice to step away from just being glued all the time. And the world kept spinning. I really didn't miss anything. And it made me think back to in the Army before cell phones were how they are now, when they were really just a means of calling somebody. The Army or the military was great on the weekends. Like, unless somebody was in jail for me, like, there was no like remote work.
So officer life. That's officer life.
Sorry about it.
Absolutely not the case for me. No.
Sorry about it.
I mean,
I left work and that was it.
Corporal, sergeant, staff, especially staff NCO. Dog, I wanted to throw my phone into the river when I got out. It was the number one thing I was looking forward to. Number two, beard and getting rid of my cell phone.
Yeah. It's just nice to be able to unplug, and I guess I missed that aspect of the military. Maybe it was unique to me or officers. I don't know.
Officers
in some jobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it for me.
All right. I have a couple things. One, we were talking about, like, in our group chat, we were talking about the presidential election and that stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And are we talking about that, Kate? Did we already talk about that or no?
We didn't talk about it yet.
Okay, cool. So just so you know, we record Save Rounds and Alibis before, because sometimes in the show we talk about depressing shit. Right.
Keep it fresh.
The president is currently 78 years old.
I don't know.
Trump is 76 years old. So by the time – no, I think he's 80. I think Joe Biden's 80 now. By the time he would be elected again, he'd be 82 years old. By the time he left office, he would be damn near 86. Trump was – at the time Trump was elected, he was the oldest president in U.S. history to be – elected. The second Reagan term was different. He was a little bit older.
Joe Biden is 80.
He's 80 right now.
It's two more years, and then by the time he would get out of the office is 86. So by the time he got out of the second term, he wouldn't be getting out of the second term. You don't live, unless you're Jimmy Carter, don't live that long.
Don't you just want to go sit on your fucking porch, Joe?
Dude.
Yeah.
Go down to Delaware to your beach house.
He's been a senator or whatever since like he was 40 years old.
Yeah,
maybe even
he's been
younger.
Around forever.
Maybe they get institutionalized. They're like, what's his face from Shawshank Redemption? And they don't know how to not be in politics anymore. And that's why there's
You're joking, but you're absolutely right. I think that is part of it. But I even think about like when people retire and they go get you know, an easy job just to give themselves something to do, keep their brain fresh. Okay, got it. The president of the United States. Yeah.
I'm just looking at both parties right now and who they're putting. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Don't you have smart analysts? Am I an idiot? What is happening? Give me two young ladies with big old honkers, Republican, Democrat, big old honkers, sexy as hell. They're both scandalous. They're both sluts, and they don't care.
Hell yeah, brother.
I want to see them run. That's the America I want.
Yeah, sluts.
Young sluts.
We love sluts.
Can you imagine, though, chaps, like you pull up to your local muni course, and Joe Biden's the starter? That's what he needs to be doing. He'd have great stories.
I wouldn't even want him to be the starter, Cons. Like, he's going to get all the times fucked up. We're going to have people too close together.
Seriously, and I mean, like, people always, like, want to chirp him, like, oh, look at this idiot. He messed up a word again. It's like, he's 80 years old. That's what 80-year-old people do.
You should be in a nursing home. Dude, when we were growing up, if you were 80, you were damn near in a nursing home. Seriously. I went further on this presidential list of how old you were. We've had 45 presidents. 46 now. Only 11 of those were 60 or older. And now we're going into the 80 range. The last two are the oldest in American history. To the point, this might be my favorite presidential fact of all time, except for Woodrow Wilson having a grandkid alive or something like that.
That's
a wild stat. Dan Quayle is older than Biden and Trump by a pretty good margin, and he was the vice president for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton hasn't been in all. He was elected the first time in 1992.
30 years ago.
It's fucking unbelievable. Crazy, man. And another presidential thing. I hadn't thought about this ever. If you're from a different country, let's say you're from France, and you look at American presidential elections over the last 25 years, there has been two out of the three elected presidents, there has been election problems that have gone to the Supreme Court or high level.
Remember the hanging chads?
Hanging chads now with Trump. Like, if we think that our elections are so perfect, imagine other countries looking at two out of three in America have had big time legal issues where half the country didn't accept the answer.
But a lot of other countries are wacky.
Crazy, right?
They got their own stuff going
on. They do. But we like to picture ourselves as the perfect example of democracy. Like, if we're the perfect example, buddy, we got some work to do. That's great. Yeah. Oh, couple more things. One, standardized testing. That shit was the worst that was the worst growing up, and Cardi has theirs today. Whenever I went, it was just like, eat some cereal, whatever. We made this morning, like, you're going to crush it. It was almost like a locker room speech. Like, you're going to go out there. That math has no chance to stop you. So I was like, Cart, we're going to listen to your favorite music on the way to school. What do you want? And they said, let's listen to some Kevin Gates. So some, like, serious trap music is what we pulled up to the school in. I think Cardi's going to crush it today. So I highly recommend that for standardized testing. And two other things. I've been loving doing TikToks. I've been doing TLC and Discovery Plus TikToks, and it's been so much fun. I have so many ladies that I talk to. And listen, fellas, if you listen to this show and you go and follow me on TikTok, I just want you to know I'm blocking you. I don't want any men on my TikTok. It's just ladies. We dish it up. We chat it up. No men. If you are a woman and you're listening, come on over, sister. We're ready to have
you. I comment in there all the time. I like
it. You do,
ladies.
Kate. Yep. I like it. It's fun. Kate loves the nacho stories and stuff about sister wives and my 1,000-pound life, all that kind of stuff. Last thing. I am part of Patrol Base Sabate, which is a organization that I really believe a lot in. We're having our gala in NYC, and one of the things that I want to do is have you guys donate if you're able to do it. And in fact, if you're in the New York area and you are the one who donates the most, you can come with us and hang out. You can be at my table. We'll have a couple other Barstool folks there. You can hang out with us, and it'll be a fun night. So I'm going to post the link on my Instagram and Twitter. You can go to that, and if you want to donate to Patrol Base Abate, that would be awesome. We just bought a brand new place out in Montana where all kinds of people, if you're a veteran of any shape, size, color, creed, service branch, you can come out and hang out, and it's largely free of cost for each one of the service members. So
and Chaps, for those who have not ever heard of Patrol Base Abate, maybe they're new, what is it?
So Patrol Base Abate, it was designed and it was founded by Tom Schumann. And you probably remember Tom Schumann from his story that we shared on this show with his interpreter, Zach, and how they got him out of Afghanistan during Digital Dunkirk. Tom is a great guy. I think he's the finest officer, one of the finest officers I've ever known in the way that he cares about his Marines and cares about people. Mm-hmm. He named the organization Patrol Base Abate after one of his Marines, Sergeant Abate, and now we have this organization that is designed to really put Sebastian Unger's vision of the tribe back in place, because I think that when folks, and we've said it a million times, when folks get out of service branches, they miss that camaraderie. I always say I don't miss the Marine Corps, but I miss the fuck out of the Marines. Mm-hmm. And people have that across all service branches. So we want a place where you can come, go, whether you like jujitsu, whether you like shooting, whether you like poetry, weightlifting, golf, basically have a small club for any interest that you want. And in fact, if we don't have one for one of your hobbies, we will make one for your hobby, because there's going to be other people who are going to want to do that as well. Check it out, Patrol Base Abate. Just throw a little Google on there and you'll be able to find it. And then if you want to donate straight to that page, go ahead and do it. I would really appreciate it and love it if we can make this great organization even greater. It's on the retreat.